The Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. This Ailish is Tom DeLong.
Yeah.
You're Ailish Forfar. He's JD Bunkus. An hour to go, guys, in the week.
See, now you do sound like her big brother.
This is like, Tom DeLong.
This is who this is.
You were wrong.
Yeah, one block before Blink-182 came on her Oxcore day.
You just were like, we were talking about sports and you're like, and then Tom DeLong. And I thought,
no,
is he
I
like
didn't.
A backup were, running back for the
we
Patriots?
We weren't talking about sports.
Well,
we were talking.
Sound like
he
a
sports
sounds
like
we were talking
guy.
About Fall Out Boy. What? And you started singing it in this voice.
Tom DeLong, to me, sounds
he
like
be,
a bad backup quarterback.
Or what he could be is a kicker for a team.
Yes, I like that,
He's
too.
He's definitely a kicker.
A punter.
A skinny punter.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
All right. But he's the Blink-182 and Angels and Airwaves and alien conspiracy guy.
Can I say instead. About our next guest that I am always like even suspect of like her name being her real name because it just actually sounds so perfect?
Yeah, sure. That's actually true.
It's a really,
it's a
great,
really great
media name.
Great name.
Great at work. Great as a sideline reporter. And Blake and I just talking off air about how when we first saw her on broadcast, both of us had the like, wow, like this person's very, very good at this job, is going to have a big future.
Yeah. And it's Amy Audibert, Raptor sideline reporter for Sportsnet.
Gosh.
Former, okay.
Yeah, give
Sorry,
a chant.
Ailish is going to yeah. chant
Amy.
You in.
Amy.
Amy.
How's
you
it going?
You guys, it is day 12 of the road trip, so yeah. That is wonderful energy. I think everyone could use a little bit of that, so thanks for that one.
That's my number one job on this show is to bring the energy.
Yeah.
Okay, so anytime yeah. you need it, you just call awesome. Me and I'll chant your name.
Yeah.
So, Amy.
And please, like, Blink 182, all the small things. It's like, I am not small. It's the best intro song for me. Thank you.
So, a 12-game road trip. Obviously, this is I'm assuming your longest one in media because, you know, the 905, the G League isn't sending the broadcast crews on the road. You just pick up the road feed. But did you even have one that long when you were at the U? Or is this like this is brand new to you, not just as media, but this lengthy a road trip anyway?
Yeah, this is about as long as I can remember. And it's been pretty busy, right? Like mm-hmm. different time zones, Portland. Like it was 2 years ago, so I can't, you know, I can't imagine these guys. Like, you certainly get a different sense of the lifestyle of having to get up and play these games, right? It's just, it's a crazy schedule. So, I'm impressed with just even the Memphis game, the energy, and all this, right? Because I'm tired and I'm not playing.
What were you able to get anything in for Thanksgiving yesterday? Like were you, or was that a hotel recovery day since the team was off entirely?
No, we actually had a nice dinner with our travel crew with the television side, so it was awesome. It's been, I will say, for us and for our like kind of chemistry and body, it's been great too because I think you get to know each other on the road a little bit. So we had a really nice night last night.
Okay, we're gonna move on to actual Raptor stuff and stop over personalizing things. But I actually didn't know that you went to the U, and I was just down in Miami. I went to Watsco, and this time I'm actually gonna talk to a Miami grad who didn't go to the University of Miami, Ohio. So, no, I was kind of disappointed by the basketball arena. Like, it's pretty tiny, and it was kind of dingy. And I went there, and I was expecting to be at, you know, the U, and nobody was there. It was your opening game. You guys played Canisius. I always screw up how you actually say that.
Canisius.
Yeah, you beat them barely. Your team kind of not so good this year. Your men's team, anyway. I didn't see them play.
Yeah, I saw them.
Did you watch that game?
I saw the Dayton game.
Okay.
I saw Dayton yesterday.
Yeah,
so,
I'm like, this is where you guys play? I was like, yeah. You know, I've seen nicer high school gyms in Canada.
Yeah, okay. Ouch.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I was actually, I was there when we switched over to playing in that place. I think, to be honest, you got to remember, it's Miami. We don't, there's just not, they don't draw crowds.
Yeah. But,
I mean, and so for me, I do believe it's a good size because I've seen it packed when Duke comes in town or North Carolina comes in town. But to be honest with you, unless you're really, really good or someone big's in town, it's Miami. People don't, like, there's a million things to do. So that's going to be my defense to theirs.
I like that I got told to stop over-personalizing things, and then JD brought up his vacation to Miami.
No, that's what I said. I said this is the last over-personalization of things. It was just I needed to talk to somebody because I did go there, and I felt very underwhelmed. And I went, oh, okay, like there's the Rick Barry uniform hanging in the rafters. I went, that's cool. And then the rest of it, I was kind of like, your team shop is a little stand where there's like three T-shirts. I was like, no, this is going to be better. You're still the U. Like, please.
Yeah. So, yeah, but then you walk around campus. And
yeah, that part. Yeah, that
and,
that part is that little boulevard that you walk down. Yeah, that's yeah. Like oof. I bet you had fun.
And now you guys see why Kyle Lowry left. Yeah. So this road trip, Amy, Raptors are 2-3 on this trip right now. They've won two of their last three after a pretty rough stretch. We had said on this show if they could come out of this trip, and this was a little before the trip began, but if they could get to this point of the season at 10-10, we'd be okay with where they're at and where they're trending. They have a chance to salvage this road trip, go 3-3 on it, which anytime it's a 6-game road trip, I don't care who you are, that's a positive, and get back to 10-10. Are you in agreement with that assessment that if they can close this one out and get one more win here, they're heading home for this lengthy home stretch in an okay spot?
Absolutely. And I mean, to get a win at Indiana, I think that's a really good win. This Pacers team is good as well. So if you look at it that way, of course. But I would say this too, like, when you look at road trips, even though it looked like games were going to start getting out of hand at times, it never did. And I know we're not into moral victories, but when you look at development and you look at all that stuff, I would say, hopefully for the Raptors, it goes well for them tonight, but this has been pretty successful. I think the character of these guys is definitely, this has been a tough trip. I mean, look at who they've had to hit the road and play, and they've kind of kept themselves in games the whole time. So, I mean, yes, you can look at the record, and I do agree with you. I do believe 20 games in is when you can really kind of start measuring your season and look at your expectations and where you hope you can kind of finish off later. But, yeah, I mean, I think splitting this one would be good.
One of the biggest things that I noticed in the last couple of games on the road trip is Utah's return was a huge energy boost to the team. Is that contagious throughout the roster? And does it maybe lock guys in a little bit more in their play because the minute competition is a bit tougher?
Absolutely. And that was one of the things. I wasn't working the Memphis game until after, but I definitely was there. And one of the most noticeable things when Utah got, every time he impacts the game, you look at his box score and it just doesn't show. He's one of those guys that I don't know if you ever really measure his stats compared to how he impacts a game. But every time he got a tip or he got his hand on stuff, that huge block, like the bench was fired up. I think they were so happy to have him back. And it was perfect timing, again, on that kind of tail end of this trip. So I think he's been big time, and he's just going to keep, I think, you know, getting comfortable, playing himself into better shape, all that fun stuff too. So it's a huge welcome back for him.
I really do believe that his block against Memphis changed the tone of that game, just the defensive energy he brought. And I also appreciate that, and not to make the Raptors fans like we're the best here, but that the Raptors have had players like that in a while, and that's the Kyle Lowry education of a fan base, where I do think people will appreciate Yuta Watanabe if he continues to play that way this year, that this is a fan base that will get it.
Absolutely, and I mean, he's someone who's also very in tune with his role. You talk to him, it's like, what are you going to bring? You know, we've had an opportunity to talk to him on the road trip. You can't wait to get out there. What are you going to bring? The first thing he always talks about is energy, defense. So when you have a guy that knows he's going to come off the bench, knows he's going to give you a couple minutes here and there, I think that's also encouraging, right? It's because that's what the best teams are, right? They're the puzzle pieces, their roles. And this is a guy that's very willing to play that role.
Now, obviously, Utah's a guy, you know, he's coming off the bench. He played 14 minutes in that game. He's not solely responsible for the Raptors giving up 71 in the first half to Memphis and 41 in the second half to that same Memphis team. But I do think that, you know, his energy and the defense was certainly noticeable in that change. But bigger picture, this is a team that's been very hot and cold defensively. They started the season 6th in defensive efficiency over their first 9, and they've been, even with the win the other night and that Sacramento game not far behind, 30th in defensive efficiency in the 10 games since. What's going on there with not, I mean, I understand why the defense is bad sometimes, but I don't really have a great handle on why the up and down game to game and sometimes even half to half. Do you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough because, I mean, when you look at Memphis, it was night and day. And for me, I looked at the points in the paint. You knew going into Memphis, they were number two, averaged 53 points in the paint a game, and they had 42 at half. So I would say that even Fred after the game said, like, the intensity wasn't there in some ways. And so the Toronto Raptors, they have to understand their identity. And I think they do, but they're not going to win basketball games if they don't come out and defend firsthand. I think it's a combination of things. Like, I think guys are in and out of the lineup. you know, they've had some bumps. They've got guys missing games here and there. There's like a chemistry and cohesion that comes on the defensive end just as much as it does on the offensive end. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I think communication's big, right? Like that's, you cannot play a scramble, switch, all that type of defense if you're not communicating. And so I think it's just a matter of continuing to get consistent reps. But these guys don't play, and their leaders, their leadership understands that if they don't sit down and defend, and I mean, it's high risk, high reward at sometimes, right? They do like to gamble. They do like to get out and run. And sometimes it's not going to look the prettiest, but then you look at the second half at Memphis, and that was fantastic. That was a great effort. The game plan, and they seem so much more in tune and on the same page. So it's definitely a tough ask to play with that style, but when it works, it's wonderful. So I think we just got to kind of be a little bit patient with that.
So you talk about the lineup fluctuations that we've seen throughout the road trip. Do you think that Malachi Flynn is ahead of Delano Banta now, or is that just a one-game sample and one performance?
I think it's Nick Nurse talks about it all the time, right? It's who they got in front of them and who's playing well. I like both of them. They're just different types of players, right? And so at times when you need to kind of maybe facilitate a little bit and keeping Freddie off ball at times, and then when Malachi gets in there and, you know, goes in for 2 minutes and he sustains and he does well. I thought he was great at Memphis. He did a lot of stuff, again, that's not on the box. He hustled his tail off. He got his hand on some deflection. So I don't know if it's like solidifying any. I don't think on a Toronto Raptors team, with the exception of the top five, like when you look at that second unit, I don't know if there's any solid lineup in terms of who's getting in first or not. It wouldn't surprise me if Malika is in there for a couple minutes ahead of Delano. At the same time, we've seen it the other way around, right? And I mean, you certainly get your opportunities with this squad.
Amy, you mentioned, you know, who's in the lineup, and obviously some of the bench minutes depend on who's starting. We know Ken Birch is out tonight. Have you gotten a sense of how close OG Anunoby might be? Because this is his third game in a row being listed as questionable. What's the chatter been on the trip about how close he is to a return?
Yeah, well, we don't get all that inside information either.
Shocker.
I mean, he's here. I know, right? He's here, and I mean, he looks great. So when we were in Utah, when Nick Nurse came out and said it's going to be a while, even amongst the media member, you definitely got quiet quickly because nobody had really got a grasp on what was happening. But I mean, you listen, it's questionable. It's definitely optimistic, right? Then out, but we'll see. But we I think everybody knows that Ogie's a big part of what the Raptors want to do on both sides of the ball. So getting him back is going to be pretty important here.
Someone we know is coming back, actually just came down during this interview, is Evan Mobley's going to be back for the Cavs on Saturday. And that's a little quick, and it makes the Rookie of the Year race again very, very interesting. The longer Mobley missed, the longer Scotty Barnes may have had to kind of build some lead there, some insulation in that race. Looking ahead to tonight, the Pacers are a team that Barnes has had two really strong games against. He had 18-7-7 in that blowout victory against them, and then he had a 21-12 double-double in the second meeting where the Raptors edged one out in Indiana. What do you like about this matchup for him, and why do you think he's had so much success early on against the Pacers?
Well, I think Scotty's had success, period, against many people because he just goes. His energy from tip to when the game's done is just when he gets after it, right? We've seen a couple quarters, hours. It's taken a little bit for him. But against the Pacers, I mean, I think it's just early on in the season too, right? Where everyone's like, who is this guy? And so I think he got a lot of teams on their heels because of how you take his mental, I guess, intensity or just go, 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 but then you add it to his frame and his skill set. It's why he was top lottery pick. He's great and he goes, his motor's high. I'm really curious to see him come out tonight again as a rookie who's already eclipsed his entire minutes production last year in college, right? This is a grueling trip. So I think Scotty knows he's got to come out and play really, really hard tonight. He runs hard. Like, he gets up and down the court. When he's in the half court, he turns his motor on. He can get to the rim in a dribble or two. You know, I think he just kind of got the whole league a little bit shook when he came out that tough.
A grueling trip for a rookie, a grueling trip for the Raptors. They have a chance to come out of 3-3 and get back to .500 on the season. And a grueling trip for you, Amy Audibert, Raptors sideline reporter for Sportsnet. Keep up the great work. I thought you've had a terrific road trip, and looking forward to seeing more of you on the broadcast.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait to get home and see everybody, too.
Amy.
So, tonight is the last of this road trip for the Toronto Raptors. It is
back
their
to normal time.
Yeah, they're sixth in a row. They'll return home to the Celtics at 6 o'clock on Sunday. 10 of their next 11 at home.
Mm, thank you.
It's a little better. Yeah, there's better bedtimes ahead for us. Mm-hmm. We still have the Raptors Leafs doubleheader tonight. Mm-hmm. We have the Raptors Leafs doubleheader on Sunday at more reasonable times. And then the Leafs also return home. They'll play at home on December 1st, and then they've got a 3-game homestand the week after that as well. Mm-hmm. What about that December 1st game?
It's a very special game. So let us tell you why. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Maple Leafs December 1st home game versus the Colorado Avalanche. Here is how you can win said tickets. You will need to download today's episode of our podcast.
Subscribe, follow, subscribe.
Rate us 5 stars.
On iTunes.
It's called The Fan Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
You listen for the special code word that's included somewhere in the podcast. And I'm the one that tells you the special code words. Keep that in mind when you're ranking your favorite hosts on our show. And once you've identified today's code word, you text it into 59590 for your chance to win. The winner will be selected on Monday, November 29th. How exciting.
It's very exciting.
This is not the only time we're doing this.
No, it's not.
So if you lose this time, that's okay. Yeah. You have plenty more shots. But still, try.
Saying Ailish is not a part of the contest, by the way, is your favorite host. You can say it's Blake or I. You can't.
Not a part of the contest at all where you have to say who your favorite host is.
No, but if it is me, just let me know.
Separate of the contest.
In the contest, too. Both. Can be both.
Yeah. Ailish and JD do not have any say over who wins.
No.
But I assume our prizes team, who's picking it, if you were to say in that text, hey, here's the secret code word, swaddle, or whatever it is. It's not swaddle. That was yesterday's code word, apparently, everyone thought.
It was definitely not yesterday's code word.
But if you were like, hey, swaddle plus I'd take JD or I'd take Ailish, I don't know, maybe the prize team looks on that a little more favorably.
I would just like to play to the conspiracy crowd right now. Like, hey, never know.
Truly never know.
Do you really know what goes into these decisions? Don't you want to make your best attempt? I would say that, maybe you leave that 5-star review and say how great JD is.
And if it's Blake choosing, he just looks for all the 519 numbers that text in.
Maybe you send me that message on Instagram. Saying that, I'm great. I screenshot it, send it into our bosses like I do.
And if you're truly a simp.
You are one of Ailish's simps.
I need a simp?
Yeah.
Great.
What?
I don't know. Just
you don't know?
If you truly are.
You got derailed by your own thing.
You'll milk this for all it's worth.
Hey, so Raptors game tonight, though.
Lines moved to +4, by the way. Nudged over to +4.
I thought it opened at +4, went down to 3.5.
It nudged back. I mean, this is going to be, that's such a sensitive spot in the line. It's like being at 3 points for football or right at 7.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty sensitive there. So, you're going to see it bounce around a little bit.
Is it just because Chris Duarte is older than me that we're not putting him in the Rookie of the Year conversation? Because I actually feel like this whole Evan Mobley being out, it hasn't done much for Scotty Barnes. I think he's kind of maintained level, but he hasn't done anything to really go, hey, this is going to be a race between these two guys. And yet I haven't really felt there has been a Duarte push. And I'm just assuming that this is because he and LeBron went to high school together.
Chris Duarte's 24. So, and there definitely is a little, there's definitely a small element of, in the Rookie of the Year voting, you're not just looking at the season, but you're projecting ahead. And Chris Duarte is averaging 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's probably going to average 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to go much higher. I don't know that it's ever going to go lower. I think he's got a really good case for all rookie team. But Rookie of the Year is a buzz award and it's a stats award. And I don't know that he's going to have... 13-4-2 is really good for a rookie stepping into a starting lineup and playing a playing a 3-and-D role very, very effectively. But it's not the kind of stat line that, let's be honest, some of the people who vote are not watching, you know, 30, 40 Pacers games over the course of the season to understand just how good this guy is. So he might get some down ballot votes, but I'd be surprised if he's in the conversation.
One great text that just came in, speaking of conversations, from 59590. If I win the tickets, Blake and Ailish can have them, and I'll hit the bar with JD and watch on the big screen. Dan from the Bridge.
Hard pass.
You wouldn't go out with Dan from the Bridge to the bar? And
No. So you guys, so he gives you the tickets, so he gives you the thing I want to do, and then I got to sit there with him at the bar and take one for the team, so you two
I think it's thoughtful of him to include you.
I think it's thoughtful of him to give you guys the tickets, that's for sure. Break?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Sean freaking Avery. Pretty good get. Pretty good get, Daniela. Pretty good job by you. That's Ayo. Next. Fan Morning Show, JD Bungus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. That's Billy freaking Talent.
What?
That's right. William Talent. Billy Talent. This was, this is my favorite band growing up. Billy Talent.
I saw you tweet, or you posted on your Instagram a picture of
that album
the other day.
Yeah. I had the vinyl and I was like, it's coming in this for sure.
I knew it was going to anchor the show today. By the way,
is it not? Oh, just so good. I've been just listening to the album for like the last week, waiting for today.
Okay, so, we got to.
I guess we
can't
talk.
Do too many music interludes like that because on the podcast it's going to be just.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
hey, guess
podcasters.
What? Hey, guess what? You'll be all right.
Ah, who knows? Maybe that's where we slide in the Ailish code word.
Maybe we do slide in the code word.
By the way. If you want to relive Ailish's aux chord or all of our aux chords to date, we've had 8 weeks now. It's our eighth week in the gig. Eight aux chords.
Wow.
You can look on Spotify. You can just search the Fan Morning Show aux chord Friday or take a look at my Spotify at E. Blake Murphy. Uh-huh. They're all there. All 64 songs that we've had. And JD's got the aux chord next week.
Yeah. Billy Talent played at my frosh.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's how I became friends with my friend Dan because he streaked.
Good
and
for
I was
Dan.
Like, that is my friend right there.
I'd
the guy
love to
who streaks at Frosh. That's I want to be friends with you, buddy. And we were. That's how you
I'm
make friends in university.
See, you have good memories about Billy Talent. Not the only one. It's great.
Not the only one.
They're bringing Pop Out on tour.
You're damn right they are.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty big deal.
Super cool.
Who told you that?
Pop themselves.
Yeah. They did. They're apparently Ailish used to be roommates with one of the guys in the band and like he's really tight with them. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's okay, Poser. You can latch on to Ailish's
friends.
Yeah. So anyway, that was if I have any advice for kids going to universities, like do that though. It's like the people who are fun and the people who just like independently are rolling around having fun. That's who you wanna identify. That's who you want to be like, hey, where are you going? And if they say anywhere but the library, you go, perfect.
Like, sign me up.
Yeah, let's be friends with you. You were good at school, weren't you? Like, I saw your GPA.
I was good at school, for sure.
Yeah, I know. You were really good at school. I saw your GPA. I was kind of, no offense, blown away. I guess I shouldn't have been that Dartmouth. But here's the thing. I don't give athletes, I think, the credit they deserve when they go to Ivy League schools. Because I still assume, like, hey, you're an athlete.
You still have to be accepted into the academic programs.
I know, but also
you get a little nudge. Don't. I'm not gonna lie about it, but I still have to pass and get great SAT scores, and you can't make those up.
Just saying that you were in the track for Team Canada, and Dartmouth's like, yeah. What are we getting? We got a lot of like players who are in the Team Canada track.
Yeah.
And so let's just, you know, take a shot here.
Also,
so what's this girl's grades? What did she take? Leadership? She got an A?
Gym class?
Yeah, also, this can't fake SAT scores thing. I've seen The Perfect Score starring Darius Miles.
All right.
Yeah, that's a bad movie.
Yeah. Launched Chris Evans's career, though.
I gotta tell you.
I can't believe Scarlett Johansson recovered from it.
Never thought that I would ever hear the name of that movie again after seeing the previews for it going, oh, this will be a movie I never reference again. But yeah, Ailish, I'd like to see your grade 12 transcript of, like I said, leadership, gym, history, English. Like, were you squeezing? Were you good at math? Like, were you doing... Because you weren't putting,
I was awful at math.
Were you putting, like, physics and...
Well, you have to take a certain amount of high-quality courses. Yeah, you can't I'm not just saying be, like,
that English and
in.
History aren't high quality. Those were your two high qualities that you got.
Yeah. math was just squeaking by.
You took, a foreign language course where you're in a senior...
Oh, you know what I liked? Creative writing.
Yes,
that was one of my favorite classes.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, you got to get a little boost somewhere,
Yeah,
right?
You got to game the system. I like it. I'm a big fan of this. What's going on? How are we doing? He's not coming on?
It's also, we accidentally stumble into geography on this show more often than you think.
And it's a big,
Ailish
loves maps.
Majored in English and geography.
Double major. Do you know that?
You double majored in geography?
Major, yeah.
And
English and geography.
I love maps.
Although I will say you can't use geography, so I don't know if it's a double major. It's like a 1.25 major.
It was more of like a journalism route there.
I don't care. It's Friday. You can eat it if you're all upset about this block now. We're trying to get Sean Avery.
You can eat it.
Yeah, like honestly, I don't care what you have to say. It's Friday. If you're all triggered and you don't want to hear about this, then like I don't care. You took geography.
Yes.
Like by choice. Like you looked at the, you went to
geography is more than maps. It's like, have you heard
should
of
run
human
the geography?
Geography
department. That would be the hang over the wall as you enter the Dartmouth more than maps, geography, and you enter. So take us into the mind of someone who chooses geography.
Like I specializes in human geography versus physical geography, which is like the study of how humans relate in people, place, environment, and sustainability. So studying foreign cultures and studying how they are affected by
wow, seems like you really nailed
it. I'm a little nervous.
You did really well.
You know what, it's been a couple years since I was in university.
Look,
I've got the course catalog up here. The Dartmouth geography course catalog. There are courses.
Name a couple
now
courses I've
as
took
I, as I look through. So yeah, there's Introduction to Human Geography, Introduction to Geospatial Thinking, Global Poverty and Care.
Yeah, Global Poverty
that's
and Care.
The urban
Sorry
geography.
Sorry, I care about people in other countries.
I gotta
climate
tell you.
A bunch
Sorry
of climate,
I care
change
about climate change
courses.
I already told you guys that I'm...
Oh, here's the course for JD.
Yeah.
Geog 25, Social Justice in the City.
Oh, I took that.
All I gotta tell you is...
Sorry, I care about people.
I joked earlier about how the best job is Taysom Hill. Wrong. The best job is being these... university professors where it's like, what do you teach? Human geography? Ever heard of it? And everyone's like, no. So I guess you're the expert. Like, honestly.
I also don't really understand how women and gender studies falls under the geography umbrella.
Women and gender studies.
But I don't really know.
Honestly, there are some
I don't know
great
how that's
courses.
Geography. But
pull up the English department.
No, I'm not doing that. We've done enough of that.
But this is what I'm saying.
Everyone knows what English is.
But there actually isn't enough in the geography department for them to have multiple courses. So they have to just do things.
Get
really
out of
like,
here.
Hey, what else are we?
But
climate
I have,
change.
I have. So I, the fact that I double majored meant that I had to focus on both, which was difficult. And then I got another university degree when I came back to Canada. So how many university degrees do you have?
I have one, and then I have another from a college, which is called it sounds so made up.
You get a
diploma.
Like,
no, it's called a graduation certificate, which is like...
That sounds like something you can get online.
No, that sounds like what most of my friends got in high school when they didn't graduate the year they were all supposed to.
And we Whoopsie!
So you know how at grad you get, if you're
the
actually...
The tassel things, yeah.
Yeah, no, you get a graduate, like if you wear that little V thing that goes over, I didn't realize this until I was in my senior year in high school that... I had all my friends, a lot of them anyways, they showed up to grad. I don't know why they showed up. They weren't graduating. But they showed up with just the blue robe, not the like V thing that goes around the collar. Because you only get that if you're a graduate. But we're such a small, like it's Whitehorse. So you show up and they don't want to embarrass you too bad. They're like, you can still come, but let everybody know.
You're not
you don't
really
get the gold
graduating.
V thing around your neck. You're not actually graduating. So all my pictures of my like high school grad with my friends is like I'm the only one with the gold V.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I graduated high school with like a solid, like, I don't know, 65 average. I looked back at my high school transcripts and it was bad how much I skipped class, like really bad.
There's children listening to this. Don't do what JD did.
Don't do what I did. Don't be so smart that you don't even have to go to school. You just pass the classes no matter what. And you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but why don't you do that and get 90s instead of 60s?
But I did. I got 90s on tests. And then I got basically failed out of... We used to get money for having an exam that you would write that would finish with an 86 or above because we're under the BC curriculum. And so...
paid you?
Yeah, you'd get $500 towards school. And I nailed all those suckers. I would get all that cash.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
School was easy, except for math. I sucked at math. That was a struggle.
Same.
And I dropped out of physics in grade 12 because I was like, oh, okay, this isn't going to be good. They're like, here's what quantum.
What's refraction of the light?
I was like, see ya. I was playing tech decks in the back and that you actually had to pay attention. So, like, no. That wasn't going to work for me. I love the geography thing. You really did think you were going to be a pro hockey player. Were you valedictorian? Hell no. Mm. Valedictorian.
I was valedictorian.
Yeah. Not surprised.
I was a school prefect.
I was going to say nerd, but I messed up nerd and dorky.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
I was so overwhelmed by how nerdy and dorky you were that I just like nerd. I nerded.
Well,
yeah, even Blake was cooler than you in high school, huh? Like,
no chance. And I'm stuck on the same show with you guys.
Yeah, I know. It
clearly didn't pay off much.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of tough. But again, you thought you were going to be a pro hockey player if you took geography at Dartmouth. Like, okay, I'm going to take. Don't worry. You had the same parents as Robbie Ray. Like, hey, don't worry about Ailish.
I was on the all-academic team.
Her parents were all Canadian. Teachers. I'd imagine there would be even more
teachers too.
Pressure. My parents were teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of pressure. Mm-hmm. Be smart, scholar, study.
Did you go to the same school as your parents?
No, I went to private school because of that reason.
Oh, yeah, ooh la la.
Well, because they were like, we're not teaching you at this school.
Yeah.
By the way, if anyone can't figure it out, we're not getting Sean Avery. Or at least not right now. We're not connecting with him.
I think they figured it out.
He was talking about school and he's like,
these last 5 minutes have been us standing in front of the net, waving our arms front of you to distract from the fact that...
Nice.
You're doing a horrible job of distracting then to bring it up. Hey, look over here.
I'm now pivoting out of that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do.
You know what, though? I'm telling you, it's Friday. It's 9:39.
We're some good texts to go through.
Yeah, let's rip some texts. Hey, free flow. This is now an open block because, no Sean Avery. No big deal.
Our girl Allison in Toronto, who is definitely the Allison that you're thinking of because she said, I skipped at least half of my high school classes and now I'm a hoity-toity lawyer who drinks scotch. Skip class, kids.
Honestly, in university, if you can skip classes, you're paying a lot of money. As long as you can get by and do the test, you can be Allison Craig, who's like one of the top lawyers in the city. Who's like, so she's such a good lawyer that one of my friends, Brittany Sherwood, who's also a defense attorney, who I went to Carleton with.
Are you in trouble? Why do you have so many lawyer friends?
That lawyer, other lawyers go, like, when she noticed that she tweeted into the show one time, she's like, oh, my God.
Wow.
This is such a big thing for lawyer Twitter.
She's listening. Yeah, I have a lawyer friend, Kate.
Nice.
Yep. She went to Yale.
Ooh.
We were rivals.
Hoity-toity.
But we played together since we were 5 years old. Hmm. We grew up playing together. Then we were rivals at Yale and Dartmouth. And now we're still friends. One of my best friends, she just got a puppy. It's the one I showed you with the puppy.
Mm, I do like puppies.
Lovely girl. What's the last person who graduates from med school called? A doctor. Who cares about grades? Just graduate. MRK in Uxbridge.
I will say, though, as someone who went into his undergraduate degree with dreams of becoming a lawyer, after I got put on academic warning after year one, because I went to no classes and just like bombed and barely passed everything, I had to go to the registrar's office to go back to school. You have to go in and somebody has to check in on you and go, hey, what's your deal? Why don't you ever come here? What are you doing just drinking and trying to create a horribly failing party promotions company in year one? You sit down in the registrar's office and she's like, what do you want to do? Like, I want to be a lawyer. And she's like, ha! You know you have to have like decent grades, and I thought you just had to pass or fail and just do well in the LSATs.
No one prepared me
for that. I know that was so that's why basically I ended up having to do my victory lap, is because my second year of university was me redoing all my first year courses.
You guys know I was enrolled in law school, right?
Yeah,
that was the path for me at some point.
Yeah, we're all just failed at other careers. Ailish was supposed to be a great geographist.
I couldn't afford to go after 4 years of paying for undergrad.
Ailish was supposed to be an explorer.
Because I'm not good at sports.
Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody texts in C's get degrees. That's one of my favorite mottos.
I'm not finishing that sentence.
C's
get degrees.
Yeah. Where did you want to explore? You know, where did you want to?
The Panama Canal.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. What's next?
Kirk from Pickering says, Bing Bob.
That's the whole text?
That was it.
Okay.
Next, someone says, name all 50 state capitals, Ailish.
Lame. Next.
I like maps, but not that much. people were texting in their favorite karaoke songs because we had a little big discussion.
Like,
so, good morning, all. Hardest karaoke song, bar none, is Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Hardest?
Yeah.
Does he mean the most difficult or it goes the hardest?
Probably hardest as in goes most difficult. Hardest.
No way.
No, I think, I don't know, man. Anthony Kiedis is a tough one to stay up with range-wise.
Sure, but I actually think that one of my go-to karaoke songs, I think Kiedis is one of those ones where, again, it's like people know the chorus.
Yeah, and everyone can do the fake Kiedis voice, right?
Right. So I think he means goes hardest because I don't think of
maybe
that song
maybe he'll be listening and he'll text back.
I don't think of that song as that difficult. I think, like, if you try to do, I'm trying to think of who are artists that are really, really hard to replicate. Like people who have like whiny high voices, that's really hard. Where there's like a high pitch element of it.
Blake would be good at that.
I was going to say like my speaking voice, apparently.
Yeah. you're not going to try to do a Coheed and Cambria song in karaoke.
If only.
Yeah. I mean, you'd blow the roof off the joint.
I wish. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Matt
a little
from
favor
Guelph.
House Atlanta. Am I just not allowed to do sentences
go
in this
ahead.
Block?
Go
no,
ahead,
it's fine.
Blake.
Go.
No, I didn't
hear
realize
from,
you were speaking.
I want to hear
my
from Matt
down.
And Guelph.
No, please continue what you're saying.
Matt and Guelph.
Matt and Guelph said Tequila, the Champs. Is that a song?
Yeah. But the only word in the entire song is tequila.
Yeah.
It's just like music,
Matt
music, music,
sounds like
tequila.
A fun guy, actually.
Music, yeah. music, tequila.
Oh, that song.
Yeah.
I didn't even, tequila.
I actually think that's super lame at karaoke.
Oh.
I really do. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. This is not a shot at you. I'm just saying that the tequila song always feels like someone forced you to do it, and so you do the least one possible, and you just do the...
I'm up here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like, all right, wrap it up. He did it once. Now we get it off the stage. That's where Blake's bar, two minute drill is what we should call it.
I like that.
Yeah. And you show up at 2 minute drill and you just do 2 minutes of a song and you got to crush, right? You just got to be like, hey, you only get 2 minutes. And the guy who tries to go up there and sing Chris Cornell songs in a tight t-shirt is banned. You can't show up. That's actually a trick question. We put the Soundgarden songs on the sheet and you point to it. And then the bouncer comes up to you 5 seconds later and is like, you
get
are
out
of here. So what's next?
This is from Jay in Toronto.
Jay.
You guys are rude. You didn't even let Blake finish about his law school dreams. We want to hear it.
Is Jay your friend?
I have no idea who Jay is.
I'm just teasing. You guys are rude? Duh.
We have 10 minutes left in the week. Do we want to talk about the sports that are happening this weekend?
Sure.
Or do we want to just keep doing text?
It's up to you. Hey, we were rude to you, so now the floor is yours.
I mean, I would like to talk about the sports that are going on.
Sure, you do that.
All right, so we got Leafs tonight. 10:30 at San Jose on Sportsnet. We got Leafs Sunday at 8 at Anaheim. The one big thing you're looking to take out of the Leafs weekend.
Honestly, 8 o'clock on Sunday is just so damn rude. What's the Sunday night football game? Do we know? Do we know?
I mean,
I meant like offhand.
Yeah, I mean we...
Oh, it's Browns-Ravens. That is a good one.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a dual screener for sure.
See, that's why it's so rude is because I can never... I would much, much, much rather watch Browns-Ravens than the Leafs play the Ducks.
With Succession in your back pocket if the football game gets bad.
By Succession
the way,
was good last
I'm
week.
I'm caught
huh?
up to date
yeah.
with Succession,
yeah.
everybody. Give me a round of applause.
Yeah. Look at Alyssa go with her no life.
Binge watch. So now I can be in the discussion with you live.
Yeah, but we won't ever do it on
No,
here.
I know, but like in our group chat, we can at least talk about it.
That's true.
I did that for you guys.
What do I care about with the Leafs this weekend? I really do think that the biggest thing is Wall.
I was just about to say, I'm excited to see Wall. And another opportunity where hopefully the team A doesn't play bad or B gets a shutout. I want to see him like play against some actual shots.
You would like a medium game.
I would like a medium game to see how he fares.
It's so tough because he's had the two extremes, right? One where his team left him hanging out to dry, and he let in a bunch of goals against the Sabres.
And one where Richard Panik was the only guy who shot.
Yeah, and he got the...
He basically fell asleep in the net, so...
So, yeah, seeing what Woll is, to me, is relevant, because, again, then it gives you flexibility in your offseason, knowing that, hey, you have someone who can be a competent backup that lets you move off of the Mrazek. What's Mrazek make? 3.6, 3.8?
3.8.
Yeah.
Over 3.
Yeah.
The Sharks, by the way... third lowest in the league in shot attempts per 60 at 5-on-5. So if you stay out of the box in this one, you're probably going to, I mean, based on the way things have gone for both the Leafs and the Sharks, you're probably going to dominate possession. I think this one looks more like the Islanders game than maybe you'd like if you're trying to get a look at Woll, but I also think that's probably why Woll's getting this start. Yeah. The Sharks have been a brutal possession team by percentage and by volume.
Yeah. So... I don't think that we're finding out too much about him in this one game, right? Like, that's, I guess, the point. It's just, to me, hey, they haven't developed a goaltender since Reimer. If this guy can at least be halfway decent, they need rookie contracts to come in so that they can pay other places in the lineup where they see that they need the money. And one of those places happens to be at goaltender, where Jack Campbell needs a new contract. And if he is what he has been this last season and a quarter, well, I guess now what? We've combined for like a full Jack Campbell season or getting close to?
Not even, because...
I know, it was 56 games and he didn't start for most of the season.
Yeah, it's like, I think he's had 47, 48 starts as a Leaf.
Plus the playoffs.
Right.
So that...
So mid-50s. So about a season.
Yeah. So he's played a season and he's looked pretty good. And if... Pretty good. He's been damn good. He's been the best, one of the best goalies in hockey. He's going to make potentially Team USA, which I think right now is number two in the world when it comes to goalies. So... Yeah, if they're going to pay Jack Campbell, they might need to have something in Woll. So I'm really looking forward to him. I would have said that it was going to be interesting to me to see how they shuffled up the lines if Camp was out. But even if he misses the one game, it feels like if he's practicing, he's not going to miss too much time. And so,
a good feeling to have.
Right. So I'm not really so much into that. I guess I would say that I continue to look for Tavares, Kerfoot, and Nylander to keep the momentum going from that last game where... You know, they get on the score sheet, and I know Kerfoot gets the one goal not being on that line, but either way, those three guys together, I think need to give more offensive punch. They're the only group out of all of this that feels like there's more to give, and so continuing to see them progress is it for me.
We also have Raptors tonight at 8 o'clock at the Pacers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and then we've got Sunday at 6 back home against the Celtics on Sportsnet. Ailish, we talked about it just very briefly at the end of the Cool Bet, Chris. The Homer's Parlay tonight, Raptors money line plus 140, Leafs in regulation minus 105. That's a plus 370. Are you in on it? Are you doubling
it? I've already been on it.
You're already been on it.
For the last hour. She's in my account. She's sitting there waiting, looking pretty. I also went for a little fun number here. Why are you laughing?
You're funny. That's why I laugh.
I went for a three-team parlay, all money line. Senators, Jets, Canadians. I'm feeling a big Canadian hockey night tonight.
How much money did you put on that?
Don't worry about it.
Well, you're about to lose it, because there's no way that happens.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm feeling frisky on my betting this weekend.
Montreal and Ottawa both being on the same parlay has happened how many times this year, do you think?
Yeah. If anything, tonight. Canadians and the Sabres. Okay. Yeah. It's the Jets and the Wild.
Wild are pretty good.
And it's the Sens and the Ducks.
Mm-hmm. You could have said the Sens and anyone, and I would have raised my eyebrows.
You know what?
By the way,
I like to hit big. I don't like to do these little, a minus money. I'm going big.
You don't like to do minus money.
You're trying to pay the rent.
I'm trying to pay the rent. It's getting close to December 1st here.
I was going
to
say, you better hit this one.
This is my
one.
First pay in my new apartment, too, because I did first and last time. So this is the first time I'm really just empties from my account.
So that type of faith in Canadian teams, save some of that for Sunday, because this Sportsnet and Canada basketball partnership that'll roll through 2025, that gets going Sunday. Canada's playing against the Bahamas in Dominican Republic. We've got that game on Sportsnet Sunday at 4, and then another one Monday at 4. It's the men. This is the beginning of the qualification for the 2023 World Cup. The women are in action in the New Year as they try to qualify for their the 2022 World Cup on their side. And, yeah, we've got those broadcasts now. It'll be Dan Schulman and Javon Shepard on the call for those games, and then Danielle Michaud, Michael Grange and Natalie Achama from the women's senior national team on,
very cool, to on debut.
On the studio show. So check those out. This is the first of a 4-year partnership between Canada Basketball and Sportsnet. Again, Sunday at 4, Monday at 4. And then the other big thing from the weekend, JD.
Hold on.
Oh.
First of all, this is the time of the year now where then everyone better thank Carlton, because this is all us.
Oh, the scrubs, yeah.
This is all us and Dornikamp. And just so, you know, this is the time basically where everyone come and appreciate that. Two is, I didn't hear your name on those broadcasts.
Yeah.
What happened to Broadcast Blake?
They did not ask for me to be on there.
Oof. Oh, that's awesome.
Then guess what? I'm not going to.
You're not watching.
Well, that'll be the end of the promotion that I give it. You can you can do that, I guess, but I actually stick up for my friends.
I'll have a, if you're wondering how, if you're trying to sort through this convoluted qualification process, I will have a piece up at sportsnet.ca tomorrow, kind of walking you through it and letting you know a couple of the names.
He does so much extra work compared to us.
Sucker.
We just mail it in.
I know.
Yeah. So the other thing, speaking of not doing any work, we have a Saturday night with no Toronto sports games.
I know. I love it.
Outrageous.
Well,
obviously, there's college football. There's college basketball. There's always sports you can be watching.
None of that's mattering.
But what are you doing with your Saturday night? We got 2 minutes left here.
Oh, I'm so stoked.
Well, my Saturday night is starting after the show, because we got like 55 texts in that apparently in Ontario you can start drinking at 9 a.m.
Well, I mean, you can start drinking whenever you want.
But like a bar can serve you starting at 9 a.m. Yeah. So we've decided as a team here, we're going to go get one adult beverage maybe. Yeah. And it's going to be my first time ever having a Guinness.
Yeah, that's what I'm mostly excited.
That's what we're most
excited. I've got 2 hours to kill in this neighborhood. So yes. Who knows? I might even have 2 drinks.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have my first ever Guinness today right after the show. Stay tuned. But that's my plan.
Well, don't stay tuned, because we're not coming back on the air to report on it.
My plans are to enjoy my freedom for a little bit.
My Fridays usually go the same, where I want to sleep and then I have a nap and then I get suckered into going to something.
Fired up.
Yeah. But Saturday, shout out to my boy Matty Hayes.
Time you have a diaper party.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's like male bridal shower, basically. But you just buy diapers and they buy the booze. Although I haven't talked to him. I feel like he's kind of not going to, you know.
You think it's going to be a BYOB diaper party?
Yeah, I think it is.
And BYOD? You got to bring your own diapers?
Well, they're not your own diapers.
Yeah. I thought you meant drugs. I was like, yeah, you do bring your own drugs for sure.
Hey.
Whoa. Breaking Canada basketball news on the it's so off board.
I was just gonna say Blake went whoa, and I was like,
I thought something.
I know,
happened.
And it's gonna be like Utah. All right, like
Newfoundland just got a Canadian Elite Basketball League team, a CBL team. CBL expands to 10 teams, and the Newfoundland, they're borrowing the Growlers.
No way!
They're borrowing it. So I've already got a Newfoundland Growlers shirt. I'm ready to go.
Let's go drink a growler.
Wow, lots to talk about now on Smith & Jones, which is next. Like, I'm sure they will spend the whole show breaking down the Growlers. They'll be like, who's going to play there? Who's the coach going to be?
Blake, you might be the GM.
Yeah. Oh!
Oh!
Oh, actually, hey, don't put that out loud.
If it gets me off this show.
No.
Never.
All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Blake Murphy. She's Ailish Forfar. He's JD Bunkus. Check out Ailish's Ox Scored on Spotify, at @eblakemurphy on there. And have a wonderful weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you Monday. It's Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.